Grace and peace are yours in abundance in your knowledge of God and your Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. God's word for us comes tonight from the second reading that you heard from Matthew chapter 26. Again, I would remind you, beginning at verse 73, after a little while, the bystanders came up and said to Peter, "Certainly you too are one of them, for your accent betrays you." Then he began to invoke a curse on himself and to swear, "I do not know the man." And immediately the rooster crowed. And Peter remembered the saying of Jesus, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." And he went out and wept bitterly. Earlier in this chapter, Peter had said, "Even if I must die with you, I will not deny you." That's what he said. Peter loved his Lord. He could not imagine that his affection for Jesus would ever be insufficient. But Jesus knows what's in humanity. And in fallen humanity, there is fear. Fear of death above all else. Fear of death, as the letter to the Hebrews puts it, is how the devil keeps us in bondage. So the Lord tells Peter before it even happens that it will happen. Not once, not twice, but three times, Peter is given the opportunity to confess his Lord. And not once, not twice, but three times, Peter will instead deny him. Among all the wounds that afflicted our Lord during his passion, certainly the denial of his beloved disciple Peter looms large. And who of us here has not added to that wound? Opportunities to confess our Savior come along all the time. Yet how often do we let them pass silently? Isn't our fear the same? Now, it's probably not the fear of physical death so much as it is the fear of the death of others' respect, or the fear of the death of a friendship, because who wants to be friends with a religious fanatic after all? The fear of the death of our reputation. What will they say? We talk about Jesus all the time. And so, the silence. Which is denial. Just as sure as saying, "I do not know the man." So, tonight, come and marvel with me at Jesus. See his sacred head and body wounded, mortally wounded, all because he will not deny you or me. Our denials of him need not result in his denial of us, for he has carried our denials to death. And where we denied, he made the good confession before the high priest and before Pontius Pilate. He didn't let the fear of death hold him back, and we do well to give that a lot of thought. For though Jesus hates death, he doesn't fear it. He came to destroy it. He came so that his people would be set free from that very fear. standing before the high priest, Jesus knows what's about to happen. He knows he'll yield up his life upon the cross and that his blood is going to blot out all of our guilt. And Jesus also knows that his Father will never abandon him in the grave. The way several early Christian preachers put it, very vividly, Jesus is death's poison pill. If you can visualize death as sort of a person or a figure, having swallowed him down, Jesus, the poison pill, the indigestible Son of God, death begins to gag and give back all that it swallowed before it dies. Jesus does not fear death because death will never be the end of him or anyone who is joined to Jesus. But when we see Peter in tonight's second reading, he's only heard tell that Jesus will be raised from the dead. What he sees with his eyes is his master in the hands of people who are beating him and who ultimately are going to send him off to be punished. Peter's courage, his bravado that led him to boldly proclaim, even if I have to die, Jesus, I will never deny you, all of that evaporates. It just dissolves. And rather than confess his connection to Jesus in fear of harm and even death, he denies him. And then as the fateful rooster crows, he recalls how Jesus said that's exactly what was going to happen. And Peter rushes out in the dark and weeps bitterly. He wept bitter tears for his own fear, his own cowardice, but somehow he does not despair. This is precisely where Peter differs from Judas. How Peter was able to hang on where Judas gave up, we can only guess about. But we do know that Jesus had said, "Tonight you will all stumble on account of me. But after I rise from the dead, I will go ahead of you into Galilee." For all Peter's colossal failure, he was holding on to some hope. Could it be that there was still a way Jesus could make things right? Because think of the Peter that we meet on the other side of the resurrection, on the day of Pentecost. The Peter who cowered before the servant girl and her friends boldly tells the crowds on that day, "This Jesus, whom you murdered by hanging on a tree, has been raised from the dead, and we are all witnesses of this fact." What stands between a frightened fisherman warming himself by the fire and the passionate preacher in the temple? It is the resurrection of Jesus and the coming of the Spirit that blasted Peter's life into an entirely different trajectory. And if you can wrap your mind around it, the resurrection of Jesus and the Holy Spirit has broken into your life and moved everything around. There in baptismal waters, you were placed in the tomb with Jesus and then raised with him. Never-ending life with God began for you at that moment. In baptismal waters, the Holy Spirit descended upon you just like he descended on Peter and the other apostles on Pentecost, transforming them into bold confessors. What changed? What changed was the conviction of faith that Jesus has truly destroyed death's power. And when you make that the bedrock foundation of your life, that changes everything. Christian parents lost their young son in a tragic accident on Good Friday in 1996. The boy's funeral was on Easter Sunday. During the service, the father actually got up and shared with all those in attendance that Easter had taken on a whole new importance. And through heavy tears, he said, "Until you stare death eye to eye, Easter is just a word. It's a nice day with bunnies and eggs. But when someone so precious to you dies, Easter becomes everything. It becomes an anchor in a fierce storm, a rock on which you stand, a hope that raises you above despair and keeps you going." Those whom God has adopted, those whom God has gifted with faith, have this promise that they live in Jesus forever, and the separation that death causes now is temporary. It is not final. Faith in a risen Savior offers you that very same confidence, so that you can say, in the words of the hymn, "My Savior, be thou near me when death is at my door. Then let thy presence cheer me. Forsake me nevermore. When soul and body languish, O leave me not alone, but take away my anguish by virtue of thine own." Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, when we come again in faith, when we are led by your word and spirit to see you suffering and dying on our behalf, it's inescapable. We see that you will never, ever deny us. Lord, confront us with our sin. Make us sure of it. Make us own it so that we can renounce it and see that at your cross you paid it all. You swallowed all of it so that we can be free. And tonight, lead us not only to your cross, but lead us to see your empty tomb. Lead us in faith to see you risen from the dead, scars still visible in your body, and to know, to see, to believe, to be completely transformed and changed, knowing that you've broken death's power forever, that it didn't hold you and it cannot hold us. By your Spirit, cause us to make that the very foundation of our life and to have the confidence and the joy that comes from knowing that our forever with you has already begun. In your name we pray. Amen.